And somebody shout amen. Holy God. I don't know whether y'all can feel what I feel, praise God. All right. Flow, okay, all right. All right, I'm going to start reading here, starting at Proverbs and chapter, Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 22. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Now, it's saying here that every good person leaves an inheritance to his or her children and grandchildren. That's what it says. So God expects that every person who's born again to be able to do this. Right here. Say amen to this.
Amen.
All right, now, we are speaking here on the wealth transfer. And this is part number 11. It is God's plan to hand over the wealth of the wicked into the hands of the just. And God has made these transfers on a constant basis in the past. There is more than enough to establish his kingdom. God has some plans. Well, let's go to another scripture first, just to validate what we've read there. Let's go to Ecclesiastes in chapter 2 and look at verse 26. For a good man, for God, verse 26, for God giveth to a man that is good in his sight, wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner he giveth travail, to gather and to heap up, that he may give to him that is good before God. So the sinner is involved in a fruitless endeavor. They are ignorantly gathering wealth that they will gather it and hand it over to people of God. Now, they have no idea why there is such an insatiable appetite they have for money. But that's because this is their ministry. Night and day, gathering it up for a people who will be used to bless the nations of the earth. Isn't that wonderful? So the wealth will come from the sinners of this world. And you and I have been chosen for this hour. So you are going to be a distributor in these last days. You're going to be a spender, because you're going to be used by God to get this wealth into the earth to be used for what God has intended. Can I keep going?
Yes.
Now let's go over to Ecclesiastes chapter 6. And Ecclesiastes chapter 6, he says, there is an evil which I have seen under the sun, and it is common among men. A man to whom God hath given riches, wealth, and honor, so that he wanteth nothing for his soul of all that he desireth, yet God giveth him not power to eat thereof, but a stranger eats it. This is vanity, and it is an evil disease. So I'm saying that this sinner is going to gather up this wealth and actually not eat it. They're going to gather it up so that the people of God are going to take it from there. And as a matter of fact, in Job 27, he says this. Now, I'm just reading the Bible. If you got problems with this, see God. In Job 27, he says here in verse 16, he says, though he heap up silver as dust and prepare raiment as the clay, he may prepare it, but the just shall put it on, and the innocent shall divide the silver. The innocent are ones that have been washed in the blood of Jesus. How many of y'all been washed in the blood of Jesus? So the Bible is saying here that this idea of wealth transfer is something that God has ordained. And God himself is the author of it. And that Bible, the Bible clearly states periodically that God takes money from the sinful rich and he gives it over into the hands of his people. Now, Satan knows this, and his job is to try to keep it from us because he knows what we are going to do with it. Before we get there, let's go to Ecclesiastes and look where we left off last time over in Ecclesiastes in chapter 9. Over there, we saw something that kind of provoked us a little bit. It says in verse 16, then said I, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. Now, what does that say? I'm saying because a man is saved, a man or woman, that is saying here, if they're poor, their words are not going to be significant, that they won't have the influence that God wants his people to have. And what we did is we went over into Proverbs and Proverbs chapter 22, and we found out in verse 7 that the rich rule over the who? Poor. And the what? Borrower, keep going, is servant to the lender. Now, God never intended for his people to be the borrowers. He intended for us, come on, to be the lenders. Now, so there is work for us to do. And too much of the work that God has for his people to do, his people have tried to finance that work based on a meager salary that they were getting at the job. Stay with me now. And I'm saying, whatever time you seemingly in the church, somebody's asking for a sacrifice seed. Well, let's get out of that business, because that is not going to do what God has called us to do. Let's go over to Matthew's gospel in Matthew chapter 24. Glory to God. Matthew 24, and I'll start reading at verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a what? Witness unto all nations. And what's going to happen? Then shall the end come. All right, so what are we saying here? We're saying that we need enough to not only evangelize our neighborhood, but to do what? Evangelize the whole world. We just got a call, and I got a call from one of our people that handled my staff, that handles the media. And she said, Pastor, they want to have your broadcast over in one of the Eastern Bloc nations, over in that whole area of Poland and so forth, and Uzbekistan or whatever it was. And I said, oh, no, I said, I got to think about this. So I went over to Philadelphia to do a meeting, and the Lord spoke to me over there. He said, now, wait a minute. This is exactly what you're supposed to do. That you've got to take the gospel to the whole world. Say amen, somebody. And you see, again, we need that transfer. Because we're not only supposed to just take the gospel, we're supposed to own the station. Come on, now. We're not supposed to just own the station. We're supposed to own the satellite. Come on, I didn't get my amens on that. I'm saying we're talking about evangelism on another scale. We're talking about getting programming to them that doesn't look like some second or third rate something that somebody didn't have the budget so that they can meet it. And it looks second class, second rate, but we're talking about something that is first class that God is producing through his people, because he's going to get the gospel to every man, woman, and child in this earth, and they're going to hear it, and it's not going to take long. I said, this is going to be an expensive proposition. And it's going to be something that God is going to do quickly. Say amen to that. Amen. So we're talking about the wealth of the sinner. Now, I'm not going to have time to go through all that I wanted to go through today. But I wanted to let you know that this idea of building your faith for the transfer is what I want to do. Because I know that as we studied this, that just getting them saved is not all we're supposed to do. But we have got to build an army, and we've got to take the wealth back, because the people who are affecting the culture are the people with the money. They seem to be the one that are hiring the lobbyists that are persuading the congressmen. They seem to be the ones that are buying the radio and TV station that are airing certain things that I can't stand. They seem to be, listen, but we're not going to get political and have the rich pitted against the poor, because that's political. See, somebody's trying to do that to get somebody to hate somebody so they can get some more votes. Now, we ain't playing that game. We're playing the game that God loves everybody. This transfer is going to be done divinely. That means you're not going to have to con anybody. You're not going to have to stick anybody up. You're not going to have to trick anybody or pray against anybody. What you're going to have to do is open your heart to God and let God bring this wealth into your hands so that you can be a part of the biggest harvest that's ever come in to the church on this earth ever. Say amen to that. So I'm saying here now, those people have the wealth. Well, why don't they just give it to us and let us go ahead and evangelize with it? I'm going to show you why. Turn to John chapter 8, please. John chapter 8, verse 44. You are of your father, come on, help me now, the devil, and the what? Lust of your father you will do. Now, wait a minute. You are of your father, the devil. Who is he talking to? He's talking to the religious people. He's saying, wait a minute. You are of your father, the devil, and the lust. Now, he's not talking about lusting after some man or woman. He's talking about the pressures of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. You see, Satan, his MO doesn't change. It doesn't change, folks.
Let me give you two things. One, remember when Daniel and Judah, the children of Israel, were being swept away by Nebuchadnezzar. He was bringing them out of there, out of Jerusalem, and bringing them, putting them in bondage. He was putting them in the cities that he wanted to put them in. And the reason why he could do that is because they had left the covenant. Look what it says here in Daniel chapter 1. Now, this is another scripture. Daniel chapter 1, verse 3. And the king spake to Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, well-favored, skillful in all wisdom, cunning in knowledge, understanding in science, such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, in whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. Now notice what they're doing. They swept down and they're going to take all the folks that were smart, had some money, blemish free, so forth, took all of them. Leave all the others there. All them sleeping in church. All, I just threw that in there myself. Leave all those there who don't want to go anywhere, all those there playing games, all those there who don't want to work, all those there who are poor, all those there got blemishes or something wrong with them, leave them there. Now, why does Babylon have to leave them there? Babylon knows that if Babylon brings them, Babylon's going to have to care for them. So Babylon doesn't want the poor, because the poor won't allow Babylon to expand. They got nothing that they can use. So they are a drag on Babylon. So Babylon has a limited amount of resources. Babylon is not like God. See, God is a creator. He just creates some more. But Babylon can't do that. Babylon has a fixed budget. And when that budget runs out, Babylon's trying to see, what am I going to do now? Well, I can go up on property taxes. Well, the property taxes are already high enough. Well, I can put in some casinos. Well, who goes to casinos? Poor folks trying to make it. I'm not saying other people don't go, but I'm saying, look, how much you gonna get from these folks? I'm not talking about people now. I'm talking about a system that's in this earth that when you get the money, you're gonna change the culture. Got it? Now, I'm saying that's what happened during that time. And Satan, a leper, never changes his spots. And I'm just saying Satan does not change his MO. It's the same thing. And so he put a scripture up there. Look what he says in Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 17. Here's what he says. He says, he that has pity on the poor, what does he do? Lends to the Lord. Keep going. And that which he has given, will he repay him or pay him again? So notice, he needs somebody to take care of the poor. It seems that nobody wants to take care of the poor. Why? Because it's a drag. It's a drag. Man, I need enough. I'm trying to get enough for myself. I ain't got enough for you. You follow what I'm saying? But not so in the kingdom. I said not so in the kingdom. Put the scripture back up there. It is impossible to run out giving to the poor. Look what it just said. He that gives to the poor will lend to the Lord, and whatever he's given, the Lord will get it back to us. Folks, the enemy leaves them. He leaves them. They're struggling. They don't have food to eat. They're trying to make it on a fixed income. They're getting older. They so far, the enemy leaves them because it's a drag on him. He wants to get only the ones who've been to big universities, so forth and so on, blemish free, so forth. Why? I got to make some money off of these. I got to make some money off of these. Why? He's trying to increase his thing. Say amen to this. Going up there. Let's go all the way up to Psalm chapter 82. Look at Psalm 82. Here's what he says in Psalm 82, verse 1. He said this. God standeth in the congregation of the mighty and judgeth among the gods. How long will you judge unjustly and accept the person of the wicked? Selah. Look at the next verse. Defend the poor and fatherless. Why? Because they have no defense. Do justice, come on, to the afflicted and needy. Keep going. Deliver the poor and needy. Keep going. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. Because the wicked are making money off of them. All kinds of interest rates, so forth and so on. They're busy making money. Now, they listen, I'm not coming against people. Glory to God. Let me read one more verse here. Next verse. He said, they know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in what? Darkness. All the foundations of the earth are what? Out of course. Have I not said that you are gods and all of you are children of the who? Most High. In other words, you are my under rulers. Do something about it. I said, do something about it. Now, let me give you a couple points here. The lust of your father, you'll do. The lust of him, you'll do. The pressure that he put on you. Peter said, I will not deny you, Lord. Did there come pressure on Peter? Did he deny the Lord? I was over in Uganda. Checked in at night. The airplane came in late at night. The pastor met me and took me to the hotel. And they were guarded. Everything was guarded. I mean, they had machine guns and people in fatigues and so forth, guarding everything. Barbed wire and so forth. So I got to the hotel, got to the front desk. And the guy at the front desk said this. He knew the pastor, and he knew I was from America. He said, praise the Lord. So I'm wondering, I said, man, what's going on here? So I'm in Rome, so I'm going to do like the Romans. Praise the Lord. Okay. Now I got up to the room. I said, why did he say that so quiet like that? He said, oh, if he says it loud, they're firing. I said, who? He said, no, because so-and-so owned this hotel, a certain religion. I said, is that right? And they're hiring all their religion. So if our people get in there and get too vocal, they're fired. And when they get fired, they don't have anything to eat. Now they got the whole families. But see, if you and me got the money. Now you got to hear what I'm saying, see? Because I'm not talking about transferring for 15 Cadillacs in your garage. Folks, we could own the hotel. Come on. And get this. I said, well, what else do they own? They said they own all the banks. Oh, my Lord, that's controlling all the money. The elite are setting the culture. You can get them saved, but if you're not getting them the money, you're missing the culture. Because they're going to still put that mess on TV. You know why? Because they're walking in darkness. The Apostle Paul, notice what he was doing. He was arresting Christians, consenting to some of their deaths. Now watch this. He was trained by Gamaliel. Gamaliel is like going to Harvard, Oxford, and everything else combined. Paul was exceeding learned. Even Agrippa said, much learning has made you mad. Watch this. And still was he walking in darkness. I'm saying you can be in the highest office in this country and still walking in darkness. You know why? Because intellectually, if anybody tries to intellectually compete with Satan, they'll be under his control. Anybody. Nobody can beat Satan but Jesus. Nobody. No one. No one. That's why you got to listen to the Holy Ghost every step I make, I got to listen to him, because sometimes he'll take me the long way around. And I said, Lord, why are you going there? He said, just follow me, because there is a trap set up for you right here, and you can't see it in the natural. Folks, we're in the combat zone. Not only are we going to get the wealth, we're going to strip it. Amen. Meaning that leave them with none of it, that the church going to have all of it. We're going to be in control of the financial system of this earth. Praise God. That came from the Holy Ghost. Ha, ha, ha. That came from the Holy Ghost. We are going to be in control of the financial system of the earth. We are going to be in control of the money supply. Let me go a step further. Let's go to 1 John chapter 5, verse 19. How we doing?
Great.
Now you're going to have to decide what side you're on. Come on. Are you on the Lord's side? Because that's what you're going to have to decide. Folks trying to straddle a fence. But do you know the straddle is getting wider? And pretty soon, you ain't going to be able to hold. You're going to have to either go to one side, come on, or the other. And the Bible says friendship with the world is an enemy of God. So you can't do it. You're going to have to brace up and decide who you're going to be. Now, I'm not saying go out there mad and hurt, you know, so forth, because the Bible says love your enemies. Say amen to that. But I'm saying, who are you on, the Lord's side or Satan's side? And that's where we're going. I don't mind telling you what side I'm on. I'm on the Lord's side. I said I'm on the Lord's side. All right. Y'all still with me? Look, put it up there. First John. Now, I realize this is not for everybody. Say amen.
Amen.
But I tell you this, I'm going to teach it whether you like it or not. I'm going to teach this. See, this kind of stuff here is good for you. This kind of stuff will make you stop cheating on your wife. I just thought I'd say that. Look what it says here. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth where? In wickedness. Now let me give you a translation. The whole world is under the control of the evil one. You can put it in your Bible. Whole world under the control of the evil one. Did it say the whole church?
No.
It said the whole what? World. They don't know what they're doing, folks. You argue with them, they'll argue you down. The Apostle Paul was hauling those people off the jail, but one day on the Damascus Road, a light from heaven struck him, sent him to his knees. He said, who art you, Lord? He said, I'm the Jesus who you are persecuting. Now go to a street called Straight. Man, it's powerful stuff here, folks. Now, helping the poor don't mean just here's $100.
That's right, Pastor.
No, wait now. You teach a man to fish. That's the best thing, not just give him a fish.
That's right.
So what are we going to do? Hey, let's give him a skill. Here you got, hey, he's coming out of incarceration. Fine, come on over here and get you a skill.
That's right.
Why? I'm not talking about $8 an hour, because you can't help nobody on $8 an hour. You got a family of four, you're going to try to help them on $8 an hour. No wonder you're selling drugs. My point to you is come on over here. Let's give you a skill making $23 an hour. Come on, let's give you a skill making $32 an hour. And we can do that.
But somebody's got to care about it. God is going to make the church a vortex of inventions. Inventions going to be running out of here like water. Can I finish this? So, my point to you is this. Let's go to one more. Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. Why am I telling you all of this? I'm telling you this because the wicked are holding it and won't let it go because they think they're doing right with it. Say amen.
Amen.
Oh, I love this church. I love y'all. You know that. I'm so glad y'all on my side. I don't know what to do. Look what it said. Revelation chapter 1, okay? That great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, Satan. See, it's letting you know all these names that you might try to call him, they're going to get you in there somewhere. Serpent, devil, Satan, which deceiveth how much of the world? Let's stop right there. They don't know Jesus, they can be deceived. See, they think with the money, they're making those decisions. They're being controlled like I don't know what, just like a puppet. All right, last place. Go to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26. Are y'all still flowing with me?
Yeah.
The wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. And it's coming in now. Say amen to this. Now, notice we're not hating anybody. Did I say anything about hate? No. You'll love your enemies. But understand they're walking in darkness. God's got to get the money into somebody's hand that's going to help him. We are going to eradicate poverty. Eradicate it, man. All right, let's look at this. What did I say? Matthew 26. Now when Jesus was at Bethany, the house of Simon the leper, there came to him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment and poured it at on his head as he set it meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose was this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the who? Poor. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye this woman? For she has wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me you have not always. For in that she has poured this ointment upon my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever the gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman has done, be told for a memorial of her. I'll stop right there. All right. What is this saying to us? They said, wait a minute. This could have been sold and given to the poor. Now, let me explain this the best way that I know how. These disciples were still suffering from a shortage mentality. They had no concept of an infinite supply. And neither do most church folk today. They're still trying to use the world's measurement and determine by that how much is too much. Now, if you know anything about the Bible, you'll know that Jesus had a robe that was so well custom made that they wouldn't even tear it apart. If you know anything about the Bible, you know that the donkey Jesus rode in Jerusalem on never had been ridden. If you know anything about the Bible, the water that he turned to wine was some of the best stuff you can drink. Come on, don't make me preach that part. If you know anything about the Bible, the tomb that he was buried in was the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, which in this day was probably a billionaire. I'm talking about, if you know anything about what God did for you, he gave his very best. If you know anything about this planet, you'll know that God created an opulent planet. There ain't nothing poor about this planet. It is loaded with diamonds and gold and platinum and uranium. It's loaded. Somehow, somebody is going to get mad when Bill Winston gets an airplane. Oh, he could have taken that money and given to the poor. That's your shortage mentality, because God can give an airplane today to everybody up in here. And it not touch his reserves. What did he do with the woman whose children were in debt and about to be taken? He said, what do you have in your house? She said, I don't have anything in the house except a little oil. Same oil, burial oil. He said, now go out and get some vessels. Don't get a few. Don't limit God, because you have just tapped into a supply that will not run out. It's the same concept. While Babylon won't take those people who are poor, no education, so he won't take them because he can't do nothing with them. But God is an originator. God can wait till they go to sleep at night and say poop, excuse me, say poop, and when he said poop like that, they'll turn into a genius. They'll have so much, they'll wake up talking, hey, sure thing, old chap. They'll be walking sideways. My point to you is, God can take a crooked stick and hit a straight leg. God can take a person whose mind's been blown on drugs and make them a scientific genius. Because he's God, man. Limitation with God. As fast as they poured that oil, God could have multiplied that thing right back in there. I'm saying, start thinking supernatural one time. But that you man, God can take, you don't have much money, put what you can in the gas tank and go to bed at night and believe God that he's going to fill it all the way up in the morning. Get up in the morning and the needle is on full. I'm saying, you're dealing with God, and with God, come on, all. Shortage mentality, see, we're going to run out. He had a hard time getting them past that. And when you have a shortage mentality, you start hoarding. Folks, there are rich people with a poverty spirit. That's why they won't give you none. They got $1 billion and won't give you a dime. Are you with me? No, no, no. I can't meet my schedule with a normal airline. I can't even meet my schedule. I don't see why you have to have an airplane. Well, why don't you tell the Pope that? The Pope, you don't need no airplane. No, it's me you picking on. Whoever fights prosperity will attract lack. It's a way of the kingdom. It's called abundance. It's called a supply that will not run out. Gather the vessels, but don't gather a few. God will fill up as many as you've got, because He is God. Did you get something out of that today? We let that go for you. How? So get ready. Get ready. The wealth is coming. I hear the sound. Before you go, just keep your seat for a minute. If you're here, God has spoken to your heart about being born again. Now understand, that's why you came.